Welcome to the CPA.com podcast series. Today's topic is untethering from clients to build new opportunities. My name is Samantha Mansfield. I'm the Director of Professional Development and Community for CPA.com. And with me is Sharon Berman from Raymond. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Samantha. As you said, my name is Sharon Berman. I'm a principal in our accounting, consulting, and tax division at Raymond. And I lead our client accounting services practice, which is called Skybooks.
Excellent. This is an area, the client accounting advisory you just mentioned, that is quickly growing across the country in firms. And many firms, or I should say the leaders that are trying to run or build this particular practice area, tend to struggle with the balancing of the workload. So that's kind of the impetus for our conversation here today. So my first question for you is, as many practices are gradually building out this advisory service, they have a full client workload that they're also trying to already handle and maintain. How did you manage this, given you were the principal in charge of the Skybooks, as you just mentioned, and still the legacy work that you had?
Well, I had it easier than many might because I had an administrative role in the firm as well as lead of our Southeast Region Act Department. Mm-hmm. So I transitioned out of that role, which had time available to spend on Skybooks. But I also did have client responsibilities, and I still do have some client responsibilities outside of what we're calling Skybooks, because I think it's important to stay relevant in the profession and understand what's going on with the profession. Mm-hmm. So that was by choice. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say, to be able to jettison this practice to its potential, you do need time to focus, and you need to get out from as many other commitments you have in the firm as you possibly can, because there's training, there's education, there's people planning, there's a lot that goes into driving this kind of practice.
Absolutely. And like you said, there is client interaction you're wanting to have as this is a new service that you're building out, but there is also a lot of administration that you're doing that so that the practice area is running smoothly.
Yeah, we're vetting new solutions all the time. That takes time. You need process and procedures. That takes time. You need to make sure your team is adequately trained. That takes time. So you just need to have the dedicated time available to grow this practice area.
That all makes perfect sense. So how did you explain to your peers in your firm why you needed to shed some of these other responsibilities to be able to have this specific focus?
Well, at Raymond, this decision was more leadership driven. They figured it out before I did. And they asked me to try to divest of some of my other responsibilities and really helped me. And for that, I was very, very thankful that they saw the need. I believe that anyone that's participating in this profession today sees the future and what we're trying to drive here, and knows that you have to commit to the growth of this. And, you know, it's just like any entrepreneurial endeavor. You need to embrace it and spend time in it and work with it to help it grow.
So since you were fortunate and really had a lot of buy-in and support, do you have any thoughts from, I know we've talked to firms and colleagues that don't necessarily have all that same support. Do you have any tips or suggestions on how they can navigate some of that?
Yeah. I think you continue to talk the talk. Mm-hmm. I think you continue to educate. The AICPA has some great resources out there that shows the growth of these type of practices. Mm-hmm. I would continue to leverage that information to educate other firm leaders and principals on what's going on in the profession. And that's kind of been the slow drip that we've been doing. I mean, this really started for me in 2014, and it takes a long time to educate and have others see the value in what we're trying to drive here. And I think that here in 2018, we're finally starting to find some traction. So it's not going to happen overnight. Yes. And it's going to happen just a little bit faster if you have time to focus on making it happen.
Well, congratulations on that growth. And I think that's very true that you have to give yourself a little bit of a break too. If it's not happening in 6 months, don't beat yourself up.
Oh, exactly.
You got to give yourself time on this one. So how do you approach long-term clients about this change? Raymond had a successful traditional accounting practice. How would you approach traditional clients about a transition in this kind of service, or did you go after new clients?
A little bit of both, Samantha. I think we have a lot of existing clients that mm-hmm. we've been able to transition over to this platform, and they love the information that we can drive to them on a timely basis. I was on a phone call with a prospect last week, and he said, I don't have 4 months to wait for a CPA to get me my financial statements. Well, that's just not happening that way these days. So
right.
as he and I spoke a little bit more, he got it and is very interested in the next step. So it's been a mix of existing clients and new clients for us.
Excellent.
That is driving the growth of the practice.
Well, I think that's outstanding that you've had success with both, because I think sometimes when we have existing clients, sometimes the advisory elements have been given to the client for free, and it can possibly be a challenge then to start to differentiate how this is really going to be a very different service, or the client maybe is very happy with your work, and so why do we need to change anything?
They're seeing a different level of service and involvement and commitment and ongoing support from us. So it's a different kind of relationship than it might have been before.
That's perfect. Outstanding. And so my last question for you is, for someone venturing down this path, what would you say to keep in mind for success in not overburdening themselves with too much work?
Well, you need to, someone had sat me down and said, all right, Sharon, I want you to make a list of everything you do in the firm. And then I want you to draw a line and determine what you really like to do mm-hmm. and what you might be able to begin to divest yourself of. So that was a great start for me to be able to figure out what I really didn't need to be doing on a daily basis so that I could focus on Skybooks. Mm-hmm. That would be one thing, just kind of sit down and think about everything you're doing. Mm-hmm.
And even with a strategy like that too, you may have maybe a manager or somebody of that effect that maybe you could start giving some of those things that, do I really need to still be doing this? Because I think sometimes we have legacy work that just continues to stay with you. And that could be a growth opportunity for somebody else while also freeing you
Absolutely.
Up for those opportunities.
And on all my existing clients, I said I still do mm-hmm. other client work outside of Skybooks. I've introduced someone else to that
Perfect.
Client. So they have another go-to. So I'm still involved. I'll still be a participant in the reviewed financial statement, for instance. But they have another go-to within the firm mm-hmm. that if they have questions or need anything, they know that they can go to really anyone on the team. And that works well with clients as well.
And it's such a value point in advisory services is that when they come to your firm, it's a team that's supporting yeah. them, not one person sitting in their office that when they're on vacation or whatnot. So
right.
it just reinforces that as well.
That's correct.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for taking the time to share these points. I know these are questions we receive a lot, and I just greatly appreciate you taking the time.
Of course, I'm very passionate about this.